This is Spooning, edition 48 of our careers. Pretty exciting to be here. If you're listening, please send us a text or a message, not for questions, just to know that it indeed works. The stream does indeed work today because we had some issues with that last time. This is Spooning. We'll get started pretty soon, but welcome, Ryan and Cal, our pretty consistent contributors. And then we have a new face, our new voice on the show this week. So welcome, Noah Ford.
Thank you for having me.
Yes, we'll do our normal routine. We'll go highs and lows. Ryan, you want to kick it off?
Hi. I guess a high for this week was meeting with my independent study on racial microaggressions against Black Americans.
Nice.
And we had a very, very productive meeting. And, it's just kind of fun, to meet once a week with this group and, see what we've been, working on. So we've set up, four surveys that we're going to be, putting out online to get some more...
surveys?
surveys, but, yeah, some more, input on the scale that we're creating to test microaggressions. My professor, he's just a little goofy. Low.
On the independent study, though, that's I really like mine. You know, it's nice to just have that independence, I guess. Not have a lecture and just kind of go your own direction.
Yeah, and it's definitely a different relationship with the professor also. It's more casual, but at the same time, both parties, kind of have this you're really I'm blanking on the word, but invested, there we go, really okay. Invested in this unique subject, so it's really cool to be working side by side with them rather than being taught by them.
Sure.
Okay. Low, I don't know, I didn't get as much sleep as I wanted to. Uh-huh. So I guess that's kind of my low.
Uh-huh. Stuff. Also, my Tide stick did not work for you. So I'm sorry about that. It did not get the stain out of that shirt.
How long was the stain? Project?
Oh, it was a big stain.
No, but how long had it been?
It
was just I let it sit for a year, and I'm going to try
It was a 12 to 48 hour stain, I would say.
Okay.
So yeah, I spilled a glass of wine on my shirt 3 years ago.
Yeah. We're going to see how this works. No, I do have some sympathy, though, because, there was some haste in trying to get it out.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. Now the issue is when my mother sees the stain.
Okay.
And ooh, she's not going to be happy.
How often does your mother check your clothes?
I mean, whenever I go back for spring break, I bring my stuff back. I'm here, I've been doing this for 6 weeks. It's your turn.
You can just leave it in your dorm, maybe.
I think that's what I'm going to be doing, okay. Yes.
I've never actually seen a Tide stick work.
No,
you watch the commercials, and it's oh my gosh, that was you just erased that stain from that shirt. It looks brand new, but not the case. I tried last night. I bought a white T-shirt for my interview today, and I for some reason I got a brown stain on it, and I just couldn't, not even close to getting that. I think it actually made it worse. It just smudged it up.
Yeah, I think it actually might just be a white Crayola marker. It looks like one.
So. Right. That would work better. Yeah. Honestly, maybe just get a white crayon.
Yes.
I'm going to do that next time.
So you're telling me those 2-minute YouTube ads for the Tide Challenge are just a bunch of baloney, basically.
Yeah, I think so.
Great advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Welcome, Noah Ford.
Thank you. Hi. See, honestly, my semester's been a little steady.
Okay.
Don't have very many, ups and downs with difficult classes or big intramural games or anything like that.
You're saying when you play us, it's not a big game? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. This semester, I haven't played you.
Oh.
So, that would be my high usually, I don't have that in my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the high, honestly, this pizza right now. Because, I've just been eating the calf a lot, and you get sick of the food.
If any of the KSTO managers are listening right now, that was a metaphor.
The pizza I had.
Yeah, the pizza he had earlier was really good.
Yes.
Yeah, it looked good.
Completely. Uh-huh. I've been living vicariously through the Gophers and the Timberwolves, and they've kind of picked it up lately. 538 now has Timberwolves at a 7% chance to make it to the playoffs, up from 1 a week ago.
Okay.
So,
that's with the trade of Boogie to the team.
A 6% game.
Uh-huh.
So it's another high. Gophers, Lenardi has them as a 6 seed in the bracket right now. So
wow.
Big things.
Yeah
big things. But nothing about me, really, so I had to find highs from other people. Low, also steady. Tolliver's lectures can be a little, too much.
Interesting for perspective.
Me. Yeah.
Okay.
We're not in the same class, are we?
I think different sections.
Okay, different section. Good.
But and then I also have a 3-hour class after having 2 1.5-hour classes on Thursday. So 6 hours of class, you know, just drains me.
Yeah. So you're in Tolliver's class. You know, it's obviously not ideal for class size because you have 60 plus students
in like a 40 person classroom. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And so if you don't like the lecture, why'd you take the course?
I should say I like the lecture. I like the guy, but I think I think it gets stuck on a topic, and it kind of just goes for 30 minutes with, like, different alterations from different people.
Yeah.
But, like, is it the same people? Every the time? Same thing. Yeah.
Okay.
He is nuts. I'm just going to say that right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, the issue
my
was...
sister's listening, and my sister's listening, and that's his favorite professor, or her favorite professor.
Yeah, he's cool, but, like, kind of like what Noah said, like, you get stuck on a subject. But the issue is sometimes the subject is not even related to environmental ethics.
And in the end, it's a class, so you kind of have to keep it with some progression or path. Like, some. I'm saying very, like, low standards or parameters. And I know you probably disagree with me, but it's just that... I think, especially, I'm not a very, very like, structured syllabus guy. But
You're not a very...
No, no.
Oh, that's interesting. I would have thought you would
That's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Interesting. And someone like me, who's not the syllabus kind of guy, is saying that this class needs more structure. So okay. I think that's where I have that authority.
I was going to say, like, we usually have a segment called Things I Hate. Uh-huh. And that would be, like, the thing I hate, is that he has no... He has a syllabus. It is useless.
Okay.
Sorry,
I shouldn't have interrupted.
He sends out multiple emails every day. You're not sure which one you're really supposed to read or like what
all caps essential.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so is that actually like is that the reading for the next day or like
I don't think he cares either is the thing. And that's what he thinks you think as well. Uh-huh. It's like you probably should read this. This might be kind of an enlightenment in your life, but there's not dates. Okay. Don't seem
like. I don't even know what chapter to read in his book every week like. Or every class. Maybe you know, but I don't.
No.
Okay. I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Mm. How often do you participate in the class? How often do you raise your hand and bring a point to the class?
I just feel like so many other people kind of fill the air. And, okay, what, is this supposed to be yes or no?
Yeah,
You got limited air time, you're right.
Yeah.
No.
No.
I have said my name. He goes around asking everybody to say their name once. Okay. And that, I say my name.
So...
I even had trouble with that
Good
one.
Job, Brian.
You know, perhaps, you know, maybe just try, you know, participating in the class. Maybe that'll make you more engaged in like the class more.
He did send out an email today saying that he would like more participation, more other than like a few loud voices.
Yeah.
But I'm also in the 150 lecture hall, and it's just very intimidating trying to speak out to a very large.
But even time too. Well, you have an hour and a half for 70 kids. He's going to lecture for half of it. Uh-huh. So, like, we've got 45 minutes now.
I'm not saying you do it every time.
And 70 people need to talk.
I'm saying, you know, maybe once a week, you know, you participate. I mean, for me, when I took that course, it really wasn't about... Oh, I thought you were, like, biting your lip. when I took that course, it wasn't about the environmental ethics component. It was about just, like, practicing, you know, like, communicating my thoughts, like, to a big group of people. So I don't know. That's how I kind of saw the course, and it made me enjoy it. And I mean, I think he's a really, really smart guy, really funny guy.
And I think that would be enhanced by having a 20-person kind of seminar with him. So I think he should be more restrictive. And he said he's rejected one student, and I want to know who this kid is.
What do you mean?
He's never said no to anyone who wants to be in the class except one person.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, I want to know what this kid did. Like, did he come in his office and say, like, screw you, let me be in class? Or like, he feels pretty guilty about it.
I showed up on the first day with, an ad slip. Right? He signed it.
And I'm sure in that class there were people sitting on, like, the staircase.
I made sure I was the first one. Like, I was the first in line to get that signature.
But it doesn't matter. You could be the 82nd.
I hear they're changing the rules with adding classes after the fact because of his class.
Okay.
And like, because professors get intimidated when someone's physically in front of them and they just have trouble saying no, I think.
Okay. That's a good point, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's absurd. He has a third section now. You know, he started the third
and he just
section.
Created it.
Yeah, he just... not getting paid extra to do that section.
He was very clear on trying to say that he wasn't getting paid extra.
I talked to him in the cage, just like ran into him, and he seemed like really like kind of like out of place, like disheveled. He was like seemed very stressed.
I feel like that's him all the time, though. Like, I feel like he never really has a complete control of his emotions.
Okay.
Yeah, but you may know him better than I do. I've just known him for 3 weeks.
Yeah, so next week we'll devote the entire hour to a psychoanalysis of Charles Tolliver.
Can we block out another hour? We might need, like, three.
let's finish the highs and lows. So, welcome back, Calvin.
Glad to be back, Dan. My high from the last week was maybe the 3-on-3 basketball charity tournament took place last Saturday. Noah's on my team as well as Hayden, and we managed to progress to the champions bracket. There was three possible brackets from subsequent to pool play, and on tie breaks we squeezed our way through to the champions bracket, where we subsequently lost to the basketball team's 3-on-3 squad. But
and it wasn't just a loss, because like it was up to 11, right, for the first round.
The yeah, it's up to 11 the for the
we were winning at 11 play. in this championship. Yeah. So like it was a game.
Mm-hmm. And Hayden told me he like scored the 11th point or 10th 11th point, and he like shook like Sam Lax's hand.
Yeah, he's like game or whatever, and they're like, nope, we're going to 15.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yes,
it's funny.
It was, and then we knew we probably were going to lose after that. Okay. So,
yeah,
it was just emotionally draining to realize
that we hadn't actually
won. So, but it was a fun experience nonetheless,
mm-hmm. And for charity too.
Oh, for charity, of course.
There you go.
We each paid our $2 entry fee, and that wasn't just because it was mandatory. That was because we were truly committed to the cause,
right.
Which I can't even remember what it was.
They should have upped their prices. Was my first thought.
Okay.
Yeah, there's good participation. They probably could have got away with like $3 or $4.
Okay. And speaking of charities, just a shout out to my charity on the show. It's called Dan Hagen Needs to Buy New Shoes. So I went to my interview today with my roommate's shoes, and they were kind of falling apart at the seams. So it's a fully accredited nonprofit. Well, partly accredited nonprofit.
501c?
Yes, that okay. word was, yes. That's what, awesome. Yeah, that's what it is. 501d or C.
C.
C, yeah. So just send money to my P.O. box, Daniel Hagen, not the athletic trainer. That's very important. Not the athletic trainer, the student. 1500 St. Olaf Avenue, Northville, Minnesota.
Do we have like a GoFundMe or anything like that?
We'll be starting that up next week. Yeah.
You know, the NCAA would probably be pretty skeptical if the trainer started getting cash donations in their P.O. box. There could be some very sketchy things going on.
You single-handedly get the St. Olaf trainer fund.
And then our sports teams start getting better all of a sudden, and then, yeah.
Yeah, because it's moment. They have a concussion.
Right. Yeah, you're low, Cal.
Oh, my low, yes. Also laundry-related, I would say. Our bottom one, there's only one laundry machine on our floor, and that one was being used, so I went up one floor to the girls. And I didn't realize that their dryer wasn't working. So after I washed my clothes, I put them in the not-working dryer. The timer was still working, so I ran for 45 minutes. And then I went back, and I had really soggy clothes. And then I had to do another wash-dry cycle because I just couldn't... There was no drying the sogginess, you know, kind of out of it at that point. So that was just a time... expensive experience and not an enjoyable one because I had to handle a lot of soggy girls' clothes the whole time.
So I would say, like, usually in most cases, obviously, when you press the button, you hear the machine
sound,
starts.
Yeah.
Like, usually starts
but
up.
But they have two up there, so like there's already some sound going from the one running.
Okay.
So I don't know. And I'm in that mindset where I'm just assuming it's gonna work too, you know. I wasn't vigilant enough, you're right, though, about listening to the specific sounds.
I've learned from freshman year is to never assume anything when doing laundry at St. Olaf.
Yeah, and then I went and looked at their custodian sheet that they have in the door, and they'd written down, dryer doesn't work, and I'm like,
that's a shame.
There we go.
Dang.
But, I mean, if that's the low for the week, it's been a decent week. So.
Definitely. Thanks, Cal. My high of the week... So I have this internship at this radio station, KYM, and 95 The One, if you're interested. This week, I was there Tuesday and Thursday. And Thursday, there was, as you guys know, there was the Angela Davis speech that happened on campus. And I just thought it was really interesting that I kind of did perhaps the antithesis of that speech. And for my internship, I went to the police station in Northfield, and they were just handing out awards to the policemen there. And it was just so we were doing just some reporting, taking some pictures, and it was cool to see these policemen and hear their stories. This one guy saved this one cop saved a black man from the Cannon River. He was drowning. And was able to save his life. And then similarly, there were two more cases. One was of the same guy did CPR on someone who was dying and saved his life. The guy had three kids and, you know, still alive. And then there another example of saving a guy who was attempting to commit suicide. So it was just really cool to see those awards and, you know, put kind of, I haven't really had much interaction with policemen, thankfully. It's probably a good thing. But, you know, they're, it was cool to, like, put, you know, people to, you know, a job, you know, because I really haven't had much experience with policemen. So it was just a really cool perspective. I just thought it kind of paired well. I wasn't able to make it to the speech on Thursday. Did anyone make it to the speech?
I watched it a little bit about online. Okay. I didn't see the whole thing.
Okay, yeah, it seemed like a really cool thing, but I just thought it was kind of funny. You know, Angela Davis is the civil rights activist, and I kind of did, you know, something kind of the opposite of that, but also a good thing.
What do you mean by the opposite? Like, I know she was like a Black Panther supporter involved, and there wasn't a positive interaction with police on her part, but...
Right. So, I mean, I'm just kind of thinking of the current, like, national climate of, you know... this Black Lives Matter movement with Angela Davis kind of maybe not being a spokesman of that, but certainly representing the sentiment of a lot of black people across the nation.
Definitely.
So for me, it was, you know, just seeing these policemen, it was just kind of I just thought it was a really interesting, I guess I say it again, antithesis of her speech. And it was cool, like, they were so cognizant of, like, the current situation. They're like, you know, it's getting tough. Like, we're getting a lot of bad rap. There's accusations of racism all across the country. But they were like, but I think they might be an anomaly, but in this community, they seem really highly respected, and people seem to really... like the policemen there, and they're really gregarious fellows, really good guys. So it was cool to see them. That was a long high. My low, I can't really think of one. I have a Kierkegaard class, and I didn't make it to a single lecture this week. Nor did I make it to one last week. So that's six consecutive classes that I haven't been to. Out of my control for the most part. He had the flu a couple times, and then I had a couple interviews, and then a couple and a lunch meeting. So it's just a weird string of events. So I just don't know what to think about that class because I don't need it to graduate, but just kind of in a weird place with that right now. Cool. So those are the highs and lows. We'll transition to our next segment.
Oh boy.
The second longest tenured segment, I believe, on spooning. Welcome, Dr. McElrath.
All right. So this is Ask the Mac. It is the segment where you, the listeners, send in your questions via email, and I try to answer them at the best of my ability. I should mention that I'm not a licensed psychologist, and the views and opinions from this segment are not necessarily the ones of the St. Olaf campus. So, with that being said, we are going to jump right in. We have one that is untitled, but it is a crazy question, but is it possible my dog is homosexual?
That's the question?
That's the question.
So I believe science says that it is possible.
All right, well, we'll see that. We'll come to that conclusion at the end. There's more to it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. So here it is.
What are the source of these questions?
Viewer submitted.
Yeah, viewer submitted. Okay. You give them random names to preserve the anonymity.
Great. Yes. Yeah. So, okay. So, crazy question, but is my dog a homosexual? I swear he's always trying to hump my boyfriend's leg, but never once has he tried to hump mine. Mm. We were just joking around and saying that he was gay, but
But in all honesty, is it possible? I don't care if he is. I will still love him in the same way. But I do want some pups eventually. What do you guys think?
Okay.
So there is some evidence.
I think she's misinterpreting what homosexual means in this context. Because if her dog was truly homosexual, he'd be infatuated with other male dogs. But it looks like it's a male human that the dog's humping.
That is correct. True.
Yeah,
like a reverse bestiality kind of situation.
Right. So I don't think male dogs are able to discern male or female humans when it comes to that. I could be wrong. I don't. I've never had a dog, so I wouldn't know.
But even if it's not aware of this fact, it could be reverse bestiality while also being homosexuality, because homosexuality just means the same gender across, right?
Well,
and that condition is met, regardless of if the dog is consciously saying, as he humps the leg, I'm doing a homosexual act.
So you're saying despite the species, you know, which species are interacting, if it's truly the same gender, then it would be homosexual regardless.
Yes.
That's what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay, I can see that.
Also being, sure. I don't know, is bestiality just going across these things, across these boundaries of man and dog, or is it more of a direction?
I'm not familiar really with the term.
I feel like most scientists don't like give animals the credit of that like conscious like a bestiality kind of like fetish or something. They just kind of react on instinct, while maybe humans have like a conscious desire for
right
that they can act on. I don't know.
I'm
not sure on that.
So I would say you really can't. I would say you really can't tell. I think you should get a female dog.
Get a female dog and see, like,
and
if he humps. Or get a male and female dog and see which one
he goes after. Oh, see which one he chooses.
Yeah, do a little experiment.
You know, I would maybe, like, do, like paper mache. Like, you build a female dog and you build, like, a male dog and see which one he's more attracted to.
But then we don't know if dogs can discern paper mache's from humans.
That would be a very
good
idea.
We could like spray some scent, like a male and female scent on it or something.
Yeah, very scientific.
One thing I was thinking though is I think that humping could sometimes be like a power display and not necessarily a sexual act.
Oh,
so the reason that he's doing it to the boyfriend is because assumedly you'd already set up the power hierarchy between the owner and the dog.
Sure.
Well, this new person, it's not necessarily established yet, so could be jockeying for position, literally. Kind of.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
That was eloquent.
Yeah,
Thank you, Callie.
I don't know what to say.
Okay, so we've got a second question here.
Sure.
It's titled Urgent Please Help.
Is it all caps, but from Tolliver?
It is all caps. It's not from Tolliver. It's from one of our younger viewers.
Okay.
Cool. Yeah, I don't know
viewers?
how he figured or found us, but you're right. Okay, so hi. When I was 7, my best friend Jenny moved away. I know she was a girl and I was a boy, but it was okay. She was cool. I heard she was coming back, and I was excited to see her and all, but I know my friends won't let me hang out with a girl, or else they'll call me gay, so I thought I could just dress her up as a boy. But when she came back, she looked really different. She even had boobs, and the O's are actually zeros.
Thank you for...
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So how the heck am I going to hide those? I already messaged her to come over, but I don't know what to do. Will my friends call me gay?
Is this from a girl viewer?
Also, is this a themed week?
Yes.
It just happened that two people were talking about
the same sort of thing.
The same
hot topic.
Hot topic, yes. Exactly.
I'm kind of confused about this this listener.
Yes. I think they have they're a little bit younger, so they don't exactly understand the relationship between males and females, I think.
Okay.
But I do know back when I was around that age, it was a little bit different hanging out with females. We weren't at that age yet. Girls had cooties back then, so so I understand why the guys, like the friends, may be like off putting. But I'm not sure if dressing her up as a male is going to prevent them from thinking that you're gay.
Yeah. I think teenagers, they tend to overanalyze social situations.
Yeah.
So I would just say, you know, I wouldn't sweat that interaction. I would just go ahead and hang out with whoever you want to hang out with, because at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter who you hang out with.
Hanging out with girls makes you gay. I'm just a little confused.
Yeah, that's also. But, yeah.
At what age did you guys start, like, hanging out with girls?
It's a middle school kind of question.
Yeah.
Hanging out. Had a solid best friend in eighth grade, who's a girl. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, back half of middle school, probably. That's it.
Back half of middle school.
I'd say the front fourth of high school is when I started.
Yeah, I think like seventh, eighth grade. That's when I kind of started seeing girls as equals.
Okay.
Not that they weren't equal. Wait, okay, wait, no. Well, yeah, I don't want to retract that statement.
I mean, there's a slight delay.
It's good love. I mean, more as like we can hang out with them.
Yeah,
because
I understand.
They weren't. I wasn't as afraid of them.
I understand. Yeah, I understand.
Yeah,
equal in your fear.
Equal in my fear. Exactly. Oh, geez. Okay, so we have one last question here. It's a little bit longer. And it's called, Any Tips on Becoming a Policeman?
Huh? Okay.
Yeah. Okay, here it goes. Okay, my brother Andrew is very skilled. Seriously, I mean it. Very, 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 very skilled. He has a slingshot, and one day he robbed a store, so a policeman chased after him for 4 hours, but he managed to escape. Then Andrew climbed up on top of a store and fired his slingshot, and bam, bam, bam! The policeman got knocked out. Andrew didn't want to kill him, so...
It's a quick slingshot.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Andrew didn't want to kill him, so instead he took the policeman's badge. Then the chief of police came and said, "Who's that lying on the ground?" Then Andrew said, "Oh, he's under arrest." Then the policeman said, "Hey, you're not a policeman." Andrew said, "I am. I stole the badge and he ain't a policeman anymore. I am." The policeman responded, "Okay, sorry about that." He took the guy away, and Andrew went to a party and celebrated for the first day as a policeman. So if anybody wants to become a policeman, this is what you got to do.
Is this a question? Is
there
a question?
Yeah, it was a question. Looks like he answered the question himself.
We just got tricked.
Wait, did Andrew write this or his brother?
They just wanted the airtime.
I think it's his brother. Yeah, his brother wrote this.
Okay.
But I don't really understand, brother of Andrew. You kind of answered your own question there.
Well, I don't know. What was the original question? How to become a policeman?
Any tips on becoming a policeman?
But wait, so that was tips on how to become.
Okay,
a
so I mean, he didn't really answer it because I'm not really sure that story was entirely true. To be perfectly honest,
is that the first time we're going to say that after those first two questions?
So I mean,
pretty legitimate to me.
I think the story might be made up, but maybe he is actually interested in becoming a policeman. So I think we could, you know, because I don't think he really answered the question. You know, I would say get a degree. That would be the first thing. Uh-huh. Go to school. Stay out of jail. Try not to talk to a policeman in that capacity.
I just like it that the police chief just went with this and actually arrested the actual cop.
Yeah.
So.
Do you know who the chief is? Maybe we could get him in the studio next week.
Was
it
Northfield? Like, did you interact with him?
It is a Northfield Northfield.
Oh, it is a Northfield police listener, officer. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We'll see if he can.
You probably ran into him when you were listening.
Oh yeah,
listening
he
to
had
the
three marks on his face. Probably from a slingshot. Yep. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense.
His automatic
yeah.
slingshot.
Yeah.
Pop, pop.
Also, 4 hours. I'm assuming this kid wasn't driving, so that's a long foot chase. But
I missed that example, or I missed that. What was it, the 4 hours?
Yes, he chased after him for 4 hours.
4 hours.
Managed to escape, climb onto
special
a roof.
Edition of cops this weekend.
Yeah, oh my goodness. The fact that he still had the stamina to fire some accurate slingshots.
Yeah, I doubt he fell from the...
He's very skilled with the slingshot.
I doubt he fell from the slingshot. He's probably just exhausted.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That's true. That was the tipping point, just getting, like, hit in the head with a pebble.
It's just like, I think he just had a moment of levity. He was like, what am I doing? I just chased this kid for 4 hours.
Yeah. It doesn't even say, like, what... Oh, no, he robbed a store. Never mind, yes. So, watch out for a police thief, I guess. He's on the loose.
Okay,
thank you,
Public
Ryan.
Service announcement.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so any closing thoughts for this week's edition of Ask the Mac?
I would say keep on sending them in.
Mm-hmm. We've been getting swamped with them recently.
We have, yeah. We've actually had to hire somebody to
sort
them.
What's the email address to send them to?
It is hwilliams@stilloff.edu. Okay. Send it directly to him.
I really doubt it's H. Williams.
it's H. Williams.
Okay.
Yeah.
Most times we ever.
I think it's Williams.
It's Williams.
It's Willa S. I don't know why I know this.
Okay.
W-I-L-L-A-H.
Yeah.
Okay, Willa S.
Shout out to Hayden.
Try to make him questions next time, please.
We're trying to avoid the story.
Okay. We love testimonials, too, but it's not the time or the place.
Right. All right, thank you so much. Mm-hmm. We've been playing a lot of Beatles songs for the past every single episode of this show.
3 years.
So we're looking to potentially transition as we think about, you know, maybe putting this show online somewhere. And I really have no idea how copyright stuff works at all. So we're going to look into playing other songs. And I was thinking, you know, what song can I play that the owner of that song, you know, couldn't sue me? And then I realized...
We know a musician.
Yeah. And that is myself and Tyler Rice. So this is our debut. This song is called Pete, You're So Sweet. I'm scrolling through my phone right now, so I apologize.
What's the band name called?
The band name is called Tyler and Dan. Keeping it simple right now. We're looking for suggestions. And... it'll be up very soon.
Fitting on this day, though, because it's a Peachiation Day.
He has been getting some flack. So this song goes out to you, Pete. I hope you enjoy. Minute with Calvin Lee. Here we go.
Hello, folks. It's a pleasure to be back with you again, bringing you the most important sporting events from an entire continent. During the past, you know, week and a half, we were off last week, so I'll give you a brief overview maybe of some older stuff. But getting right into it, starting in the world of international cricket, New Zealand beat South Africa by 7 wickets the other day on Tuesday, while Ireland took care of the United Arab Emirates, and England found a very important success against the West Indies by 45 runs. And we had the third round of fixtures in the Rugby Six Nations Cup, as we saw Scotland see off Wales, and we also had England beating Italy. There's some controversy from that game, and I'll get to that after the Euro minute is over. And then finally we had Ireland defeating France by, a measly 19-9. So France held their own in that game. They were big underdogs. And then... let's do the soccer roundup. We had the UEFA Champions League, a couple of fixtures. Man City beat Monaco 5-3 in the first leg, and Leicester City fell 2-1 at Sevilla. And, of course, there's been a lot of talk about the sacking of Claudio Ranieri, Leicester's manager, less than a calendar year after winning the Premier League. But in their first league match without him, they did manage to win 3-1 over Liverpool, who were playing abysmally poorly. What does that look like for the league table, then? We still have Chelsea on top by 10 points over Tottenham. Man City are in third, but with a game in hand on Tottenham, and Arsenal are in their usual position of fourth.
Liverpool and Man United make up the top six, while the cellar dwellers continue to be Crystal Palace, Hull, and our favorite Sunderland at the very bottom of the table.
They are certainly doomed, Cal.
Certainly doomed, Dan. Mm-hmm. And, yes, yeah, so what, like I was saying with the controversy, this is a viewer-submitted story, by the way, so shout out to whoever you are, you know who you are. But in the England-Italy rugby game, whenever someone is tackled in open play, generally the teams do what's called rucking, where they kind of form like a big mass of bodies around the ball, kind of like a play from scrimmage. And then the team that has the ball kind of like laterals it back to restart play. But Italy used a kind of a loophole in the rules, or not well-known rule, where they completely refused to do the rucking. So they didn't send anyone to be in the mass of bodies, but they just kind of all stood behind where the ball was tackled at. So it was really hard for England to pitch it backward to get play going again. And that caused a big stir of outrage in the rugby world, as Italy were huge underdogs for that game, so that's why they went to this strategy. And they were is having success. They were up 10-5 in the waning moments of the game. England got two late tries to come out victorious, but the coach afterwards said that the fans who paid for the tickets should get refunded because they didn't witness a game of rugby. He was that adamant about the that angry over the strategy the Italians were employing in that match. So we'll see how that firestorm continues on throughout the week.
I mean, the Italian rugby team, they'll stop at nothing, Cal.
Yeah, you know, that's just a shame.
It's
a
shame.
It's a shame.
It really
if you're going to lose, just lose, like, have some class, you know?
Exactly.
I mean, I know nothing about rugby besides that, but I'm assuming they were not having any class, and they should.
Well, in the end, was there any like sort of rules violation that they
found?
No,
there wasn't. There wasn't.
Unknown rule?
That's what they were saying. That's opened the door for more underdogs in the future to perhaps use the strategy. Mm-hmm.
Hmm. It's kind of interesting when I think about like American football and like some people like don't get it at all. I'm like, how can you not? Like, it's so like simple. Like, how do you not get it? But then when I think of cricket and rugby, like,
no,
I've read the rules. You know, I've looked at the Wikipedia pages. I still no clue.
And like, that's probably just like easy peasy for them. They completely understand.
So it's just.
But then if you think about football, there are some rules that aren't so intuitive or in any sport really. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way in Europe. So
yeah. Bizarre. I'd love to learn more about those two sports.
Yes, I'll be keeping you posted in the coming weeks.
Perfect. All right, thank you, Cal. I'm going to leave it to you guys for try to, but then odds are I'll just get the anybody who will come into the come into the studio.
Yes.
So I'll try to be back very quickly.
Well, boys, tonight is a big night for Minnesota sports as the Minnesota United Loons, they're not officially called the Loons, but I'm going to call them the Loons, have their debut match in the MLS, Major League Soccer. It is tonight at 8:30 on FS1. They're in Portland taking on the one-time MLS champions from 2 years ago. Now, last year, Portland missed the playoffs by having an incredible feat. They did not win a single road game last year, but unfortunately for us, they are at home, so they do quite well there. So
what is what's Portland's name? Because I only know
Timbers.
Okay.
Next year, a really big following.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's very big in the
Pacific Northwest. Yeah. I know Seattle has two teams.
They have a cool mascot. They got an actual lumberjack that slices like a piece of a tree off every time they score.
That's awesome.
Stuff like that. So it'll be rocking. It's the home opener. They sell out every game. And that's going to be an interesting environment for what's mostly minor leaguers.
Is this at Minnesota? Portland? Yeah, it's at
Portland. Yeah, mostly minor leaguers on the Minnesota squad will be facing an environment like I'm sure they've never seen or experienced before. Mm-hmm. So
is the NASL, that's the league below
that's
the MLS?
That's the league that they've been in, yeah.
Okay, and I think that's a pretty sharp drop from the MLS.
Yeah, I would imagine it is. It's kind of like, I imagine, like the NBA D League, where it's in like some cities that it might be a big thing for that city, might not be, but the attendance is still going to be much lower than a full MLS match.
Yeah,
so
I saw a lot about how if Minnesota would be able to hold like a fifth sports team, and I really think they will, especially if you get something new in there and the Twins are still trying to sell tickets just because they have a quote new stadium.
Are they kind of the lacrosse kind team of running too, out. Or not?
We had a lacrosse team for a while. We had.
Are they gone now?
I think they're gone.
Oh
yeah.
My goodness!
I don't think they're ever a force, but
I don't think.
So now there's room for soccer, I guess.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Storm or something like that. I'm not.
Swarm.
But I'm really excited. I'm happy that the soccer scene is growing ever so slightly, even with Minnesota. But like, it's still growing in the United States, and I'm glad we're finally able to catch up with the rest of the world.
Definitely, yeah.
And Atlanta is also another expansion team. So there's two expansion teams this year that have been added to the league. So we'll see how we.
Is there any sort of prospects for Minnesota?
Hello.
We'll get more on that later because we have Pulse of Campus.
Yes.
And the man is back.
Paul said, hello. And he said, hello. And he was just like looking at his phone. So it was just like, it was really. And I just let that moment sit for a little bit. I stopped at hello, and I let that moment sit, and I waited for him to like say something, and then eventually we started talking. And I asked him to be on the show. Of course, he said no. So I went to the admissions table, and I saw my good friend. I know him as Doug. His real name is John Hollister. We were tour guides together one day.
We were.
And we shared a connection then, and I'm looking forward to, furthering that connection. So welcome to the show, John.
Thank you. I remember when you came in to admissions, and you're like, hey, I want to be a tour guide.
Uh-huh.
And I thought you were a freshman.
Okay.
Because a lot of freshmen come in, especially at the beginning of the year, and like, hey, how can I be a tour guide? Because they all want to get involved. And then I asked what class you were, and you're like, I'm a senior. And then we hired you right on the spot,
right?
Because we need senior tour guides that know the campus.
Yeah, I mean, I think so. That gives me like a really good. I mean, I shouldn't say it. I mean, I think it gives me a better perspective than freshman because I mean, I wouldn't have known like what to say as a first year. But yeah, so I saw you walking, or I saw you working at the admissions table out there. So what's going on right now? What's the situation?
We have a lot of prospective students being housed overnight with hosts, usually freshmen. And so I'm just there to help do the meetup. So they sign some paperwork saying no drugs, no alcohol, no leaving campus, and then hope that the night goes well.
Okay. Very cool. Did you do an overnight stay before you?
I did.
Was that a pretty important experience for you?
It was okay. It was okay.
Okay.
I mean, the guy that I stayed with, we didn't have a lot of the same interests, but I still came here. So they can either make it or break it.
Okay.
Sometimes, but they didn't break it for me, but. Uh-huh. We have a good rate of, if someone stays overnight, I think there's like a 70% chance that they're going to come to St. Olaf.
No way.
So I have a valuable job.
Yeah, that's very cool. Wow. So I'm sure you get this question all the time, but I want to know, like, as a fellow tour guide, why, if it wasn't the overnight stay, why did you choose St. Olaf?
I chose St. Olaf because of the community.
Okay.
I'm a social work major, so I'm all about building community and helping people find resources. That's why I do jobs like this.
Residence life, too. I see in your shirt.
I know.
You're
I'm rocking this whole ordeal right now.
Nice.
I am the typical St. Olaf student right now.
It's beautiful.
Too involved.
Uh-huh.
So that's why I ended up doing it. My mom told me I was always going to go to St. Olaf because she went here, and I was like, I'm not going to go where you went. And now I'm here. She won out in the end.
Okay, nice.
She slipped me an early decisions thing over breakfast, and I was like, I should probably just go. Who wants to go to Luther, Grinnell, or where else did I apply? Lawrence. So
okay, I'm from Appleton, by the way.
Oh, great!
So, very cool. So thank you for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
Any other thoughts? I mean, the world is your audience right now. We have listeners
audience.
From all around the
how
globe.
How many listeners do you have right
so
now?
So I'm looking at the. It looks like it moves so fast.
Yeah.
I mean, ever since you came on, it started like jumping.
Oh, hey,
so
everyone.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
We're at about 2,000.
Oh, great!
Yeah.
Great. So. If I had to tell
divide
2,000
that by
people,
1,000. Sorry.
Okay, two. We're
yeah.
Two, okay.
Shout out to mom and dad. Thank you for listening.
I want your mom and dad to know that you have a good son. I see him around campus, see him at different social functions on the weekends, and I just say, hey, how are you? And then we say hi to each other, shake hands. We go by nicknames.
Right.
We can never remember which one's Doug or Ryan.
Yeah.
So whoever starts the conversation says, "Hey, Ryan," and the other one has to play the role of Doug. Mm-hmm.
I really don't know how that started. I just saw you and you looked like a Doug.
Yeah, I think that's what you told me.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I said you look like a Ryan.
Yeah.
So that's
and
how it
ever
works.
Since, yeah.
And we've just been staying with friends ever since.
It's been great.
It's been good.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah, I'm glad I got to know a little bit more about you. I didn't know you were a social work major. I didn't know you, the community was a big aspect. So, yeah, thank you for coming on, Doug.
You're welcome.
John. Yeah.
Whatever you want to call me. Uh-huh. Okay, bye.
Okay. Yeah, get those prospects to come here.
I will.
Okay, just another edition, another successful edition of Pulse of Campus. Really cool to get the perspective. You know, we're trained professionals. We're radio professionals. It's cool to get the perspective of a student, you know.
Yeah.
Man, I remember way back when I was a student, good times, but it's hard to relate, you know, right now. Sorry to interrupt, what were you guys talking about?
Oh, we were just discussing how the Loons have their opening game today.
Yes.
And a little bit about the matchup featuring Portland.
Okay, the Timbers.
The Timbers, that's
yes.
Right.
Odds not in their favor.
Odds not in their favor. Okay, what's
425
their...
Minnesota.
Oh, my goodness. 425?
For winning. And then okay. Portland, -170 for winning, and then plus 265 for the draw.
That's still...
Any controversial lines here that you guys would take, or...
For a draw, 265, I feel like, is possibly worth an investment. Mm-hmm.
So just to help out our listeners, because I'm not entirely sure, but so correct me if I'm wrong. So a line of 265 would be if you bet $100, you get 265
yes.
in return.
Yes, but if it's plus 265, it's the opposite. So you would have to kind of wager 265 to gain on a margin $100.
Uh-huh. So in this case, it's...
So for if Sorry. I actually screwed it up.
Okay.
So let's just start over. Plus 425 for Minnesota means okay. that if I put down $100, right,
uh-huh.
the Loons win tonight.
Okay.
That situation needs to happen. I get $425.
Okay. Right. So if yeah. it's minus, then you have to pay
yeah.
the bigger amount.
Okay. Yes, yes. And I flip the
So stuff. Minus okay. 170, you have to bet 170 to get the 100. Wait, yes. wait. And yeah. what's Minnesota's?
Plus 425.
Wow. So it's just saying if like you put such a low $1 down,
you'd win $4.25.
Oh, never mind.
You want to get
you have to bet 100 to get
yeah,
$425.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, I'd always look and I'm like, I could put a dollar down yeah. and win $425. Like, this is my new life.
Uh-huh. That's still staggering because for a lot of the lines in just like a one game situation, you'll rarely see anything over 200 in like the NBA.
Yeah,
or, like...
I think soccer, it gets up there. Just what I'm looking at, like the sheet right now.
Yeah.
Because tonight Chicago's plus 506. And wow. They're usually at the bottom of the MLS table, but they're an MLS team. Like,
yeah.
They've done this before.
They're consistent.
The Loons, who even knows what's going to happen tonight? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think when there's three options of like a draw and two different wins, that it spreads that out. I mean, mm-hmm. each thing has a one-third chance
yeah.
of happening.
Right.
So.
Okay.
Mm. Very cool. So we only have 7 minutes left, and I want to just quickly do my newest segment, and then we'll do a sign-off for everyone listening. But my newest segment, this will just be the second installment, it's called Walking Through Manitou. As many of you former Olies know and Olie parents know, Manitou Heights is the name of the campus, the physical campus of St. Olaf. And right now I'm doing an independent study on the history of St. Olaf, so I'd just like to share a bit of the knowledge that I've gained about St. Olaf. So one interesting thing I read about recently was Rolvag Library. So in 1927, Hoimi Chapel burned to the ground. Prophetically, the day before, the Manitou Messenger was talking about the potential risks of fire damage on campus. And I do not make this up, and they said specifically that Hoimi Chapel would be in danger of burning down. I asked the author of the book, actually, on Wednesday if he perceived any potential foul play, because, you know, it seemed a little too coincidental. But he said there's no way. He said it was just purely happenstance. So anyway, they lost this chapel, President Bo was the president at the time, and he made the really important decision of, instead of building a new chapel, building a library, which was really more important for the school at that point. Then they were using tiny old Steensland Library, and for people who have been on campus, Steensland is very small. And from what I read in the textbook, very cramped, like sardines, extremely cramped in there. So they really needed a new space because this wasn't, at this point, it was started by Norwegian immigrants who were very passionate about their Lutheran religion, but they're also trying to become an academic institution. So trying to balance that with academic prowess with the library or like religious fervor with the chapel was a very important decision. And President Bo made the very smart decision in building this new library. But then the final final part of this story is that there was a huge controversy on what to name the library. They came up with Ole Rollvag, mainly because the students were so adamant that it would be named that after the late author of the book Giants of the Earth, which was a very famous book. And Ole Rollvag was a St. Olaf graduate and former professor. But unfortunately, a lot of the alumni did not want the library to be called Rollvag Memorial Library, because in his book Giants of the Earth, he used a lot of swear words, and wasn't the most moralistic of writings either. So a lot of alumni were up in arms about that, but at the end of the day, the students were very passionate about the name being Rollvag Memorial Library, that they ended up naming it that, and it is still standing to this day. And that has been Walking Through Manitou, edition 2. Okay, so we have 4 minutes left on the show. Just time for some closing thoughts, maybe what you're going to do tonight, or maybe just a shout-out for whoever's listening. You can go first, Ryan. You're not quite ready. But
I'm ready.
Okay.
Now, all I have to say is if you ever do get a deep stain, you should try to get it out in the first 30 to 60 minutes after.
I thought you were going to say days there. So
that's no. 30 to 60 minutes once it is soaked into the fabric.
Mm-hmm. And don't use a Tide pen.
And don't
the jury's out on if they're even right. real. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah. Best bet is to grab a Crayola crayon.
Yep. Just white it out.
That's all I've got.
Okay. Closing thoughts. I just want to thank all of you for having me, and I would love to come back if you would let me.
Definitely, yeah. Thank you for coming on the show.
It's been a positive experience. Seeing a regular role for
this
you.
This is my high.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great.
My closing thoughts, we had some users doing kind of the socials for our show right now, and one of the users says that when you guys were playing this song, my dad, who's recording it, said the singing was so good, he rushed to turn it down so we wouldn't be kicked off YouTube for copyright issues. So.
Wow. That warms my heart. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lee.
You got one fan already in the books.
Perfect. So this has been Spooning. I'm your host, Dan Hagen. We'll be back next week. And look out for potentially a podcast coming.